Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, it's Ben.
And it's Ashley. And we want to let you know that choking is the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths.
LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one. Visit lifevac.net. And enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS to save 20% and secure your home kit today. That's lifevac.net and enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, everyone. Love you so much, Almost Famous listeners. I had to be here 3 weeks by myself, 3 weeks postpartum by myself because I have to talk about The Bachelor that much. No, but honestly, this episode, there's a lot to break down, and I am going to be doing it today with Deanna Pappas, the fourth bachelorette, because Ben is off on one of his adventures. You guys, he has so many adventures lately. I think he's in Honduras now. He's going to Israel later this month, so we're going to have a lot of fill-ins, but we love them and we'll miss Ben. Deanna, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. We love having you here.
It's so funny. We should have been recording this whole conversation because it was a nice catch up for the last 10 minutes because I can't even believe you're sitting up straight and that you still look as beautiful as ever with a 3-week-old.
You're very sweet. We were talking about being averted to water during our pregnancies and how the first one tends to be easier than the second one. And things that, you know, it's like so funny. Like the mommy life really is like, you could talk about it for hours. It's just kind of like how you could talk about single life for hours when you're single, right?
I don't know that I remembered ever doing that.
You never talked about like just like
Am I ever gonna find someone
like dating so horrible? My last date this, my last date that. Come on, you're the bachelorette.
But I really didn't date a lot. Okay, so I have my own podcast with a girlfriend of mine called Flashbacks, and we just recorded on Saturday, and we were having this same conversation because I was on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, as everybody knows, but she did Playboy early on when she was like 18, and then she met her husband when she was like 21 years old. So she really didn't date a lot either. And we were recording an episode and I was saying, oh, I didn't date a lot. Like, I'm not like a habitual dater. And she seriously looked at me and she was like, you went on a television show and dated 25 guys at one time. And I was like, right.
You're like, I made up for all of the not dating by dating 25 real quick.
So I feel silly though, because a lot of times we'll talk about like, I don't know, past dates or funny stories or something that happened like in LA or whatever. And most of my like bad dates came from being on The Bachelorette because I just didn't date a lot beforehand. I was like always a relationship person. So like I dated the same guy all throughout high school until I turned like almost 21 years old. Okay. And then after that, I dated another guy that I knew from my hometown for like 3 years. And then I went on The Bachelor. So like, I really just didn't like dating. Yeah. And I say this all the time. I don't envy people now who date.
No. Oh my gosh. It's the worst. I don't understand people who say that they like enjoy dating, like the enjoyment of a first or second date. Ugh.
I just said the same thing, that awkward conversation where you have to try to get to know someone or like, so tell me about your mom and sister, like things that you just don't like, you have to feel like you have to awkwardly get to know someone. Mm-hmm. And I guess like on the, you know, when you're on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, also, I wouldn't do it these days either. Watching that episode, I was like, this is almost painful to watch these people.
Think that's an age thing, or do you think that's like a modern bachelor thing? Because for me, I think there's such a big difference between being in your 20s on the show and being on your 30s, because in your 30s all you do is like crave comfort, and then in your 20s you like crave that adrenaline rush. I don't think I'd have the stamina in my 30s to do the show. When I last did it, I was just on the cusp. I was 29.
I was 20. I think I had just turned 25 when I did The Bachelor.
Okay.
And then I was 26, I think, when I was The Bachelorette. So that was young, right? Like, oh my God, I think about had I met Steven when I was 26 years old, I was a mess, dude. No wonder I wasn't married. And, you know, I think back to my time on the show, I was like, oh, I can't believe I chose that guy. but you're just a mess in your mid 20s. You don't know what you want. You don't know who you are. So now that I am so much older, I turned 40 a few months ago. Sometimes I laugh when watching the show because the girls are like 22, 23 years old. And I think I remember myself at 22, 23 years old. No way was I ever ready to like get married, start a family for at the least, or like be in like a significant, like committed relationship that was leading toward marriage.
But did you think that you were? Because when I was,
of course I did.
Yeah, I was like, I'm so ready. I just can't wait to be a wife and a mom. It's gonna be so great. But then you don't realize how not ready you were until you are of a certain age. So let's skip ahead and talk about Sarah and Mara, because Sarah is 23, thinks she's ready. We're all watching her and being like, no, girl, you're not. And Mara at 32 probably has like a better grasp on the fact that Sarah is not ready than Sarah is herself. But what do you think that whole situation between Sarah and Mara? Because I do think Mara was way dramatic and did not approach it correctly. I also think she was.
I also think Sarah didn't either.
No, I mean, neither of them did. Mara seemed maybe a little drunk during that confrontation.
This is where I struggle watching this show now, because this tends to make like my skin crawl. Like I get so uncomfortable in situations like this. I'm watching the women A, be pinned against each other like this, and B, it just makes me feel weird when women argue over a guy. And I remember not ever like even being comfortable with that when I was on The Bachelor. Like I just felt really weird about it. Like, well, I know he loves me and you're going home, you know, like it makes my skin crawl. So the entire situation made me super uncomfortable. Okay. And even when Sarah came home though, to the ladies, and was like, So I know that one of you put this into his ear, but like, just so you know, we're going to ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after. Sorry. You know, I just was like, it felt really petty to me.
Yeah.
And it felt really like, I just was really uncomfortable with the entire thing. Super uncomfortable.
We come to know that, I guess we can get into it. Let's get into this later. We'll do a real recap. I just wanted to mention that briefly because we were talking about age. But there was a headline that came out pertaining to you last week, and I have got to get your opinion on it. Yeah. You
really
have to know. Yeah. That Christelle Stouse from Selling Sunset said that she was supposed to be the bachelorette in your place, but because Ellen DeGeneres was such an advocate for you to become the bachelorette, you became it because all the fans rallied with Ellen.
I did not hear this last week. I'm far too busy. I just don't have time for things. But I have heard this rumor a lot over the years. And really I heard it because, well, Graham Bunn was on my season and he's the only guy that I actually genuinely liked on the show. And what he had shared with me afterwards, because we stayed friends for a long time, he had shared that he only went on the show because he had been told that Chrishell was going to be the bachelorette. Because they dated briefly before the show. They dated briefly and then they broke up or something because she was telling him that she was going to go on the show. So that, I believe, is why, if I'm remembering this correctly, he applied. He thought Chrishell was going to be the bachelorette and he wanted to win her over.
That would have been a great storyline. Well, apparently she was supposed to very much be. I think that it said that she even like signed the contract, which, you know, is
but we
typical.
All did. Yeah. We all did. I was saying this to someone else. They do that. I distinctly remember when I was done on The Bachelor, the producers calling a week later and being like, hey, would you be interested in being the bachelorette? They didn't flat out ask me, but I was like, yeah, I would totally consider it. And they sent contracts over right away. And they were very honest where they said, just so you know, we are considering several people. And I was like, yeah, I never thought they would choose me. But then I also was like, well, why wouldn't they? I just spent this time on the show. Everyone has invested in my story. This dude chose not to pick anyone. It would be weird to bring someone else. But I think they do that every season. And you know this as well, Ashley, that they consider several people. They probably have 10 contracts out of women who sign them.
I was going to say there's at least three signed before they picked. So that's not a huge deal that she was signed or anything, but she made it seem last week like she was picked and that all of a sudden Ellen said this or that. And then you came swooping in, stealing her spot, which is
look
funny.
At that.
She wasn't All My Children actress, which is why she wasn't completely random to the ABC audience. But I still think.
Well, and I also feel like at that time, no one really knew who she was.
That's what
it doesn't seem like a bold choice to make her the bachelor. I'm not saying that there's not truth to her story. I don't really know. And I don't know Chrishell. We've never had a conversation. We've never talked about it. I only know what Graham shared with me afterwards. Yeah. Do I think that Ellen DeGeneres called and that's how I became the bachelorette? I think she's a fan of the show. Like, I think that they were like, oh, cool, we'll announce it on Ellen. But I don't think that she was like, that's it. I'm Ellen DeGeneres and Deanna is going to be the bachelorette. Like, no, I don't think that that is how that worked. But I think, and I know, because producers said to me that at the time, I think they were considering 5 women is what they told me. They were like, you know, we're looking at you and there's like 4 other women that we are having talks about and we have to get network approval. So, I don't know that it was necessarily like a done deal for her because it wasn't a done deal for me. Everyone signed the contract. I didn't know it was a done deal until I appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show for the second time. And she was like, I remember going back into her green room and her saying like, I watched your season. Like I was devastated. I really wanted them to pick you as the bachelorette, but she didn't say, and it was just me and her. She didn't have to lie. No one was in there. They weren't recording us. I was in her green room and she was talking to me as if I was no one. Like she just is a fan of the show. And I remember her saying like, I could not believe this happened to you. Like I was hoping that they would make you the bachelorette. She never said, hey, I made the call. I called the ABC execs and I got this done for you. Like it wasn't like that.
She didn't make it seem, Ellen's not saying that at all. What Chrishell is saying is that Ellen was such a fan that she got like Bachelor Nation behind you heavily. But I have to now.
Bachelor Nation wasn't even a thing back then.
You like actually sat in the green room with Ellen. That's how much she liked you because I don't think she hangs with Bachelor contestants in the green room anymore.
No, she was super cool. It was like, honestly, well, I mean, you know this, you've done a ton of stuff for the show, but I have like certain favorite memories that I take away from the show because again, social media has really changed the show, I believe, and what it is now and the popularity of it all with Instagram and, you know, TikTok and everything else. The show is completely different now. Like back then you just went on the show and then you went back to real life. I die, Ashley, because I remember having this conversation with another contestant, maybe a couple seasons after my season of The Bachelorette. And again, I like accepted opportunities, but I went back to like my real job. Like I went back to my normal life. And I remember this girl telling me, and she didn't even make it very far, like maybe hometowns or something like that. And I remember her saying to me, well, what do I do now? Like, I can't go back to like my normal job. I'm a celebrity. And I was looking at her and I was like, what world are we living in? Like, why can't you go back to your job? Like, do you think you're like, it's just weird.
Yeah,
so
no, it's super cringe when Bachelor contestants call themselves celebrities.
Yeah. And not like you can't like have great opportunities, like absolutely live the dream, because I am here to tell you that 15 minutes does go away and you'll be like, okay, here I am. And I have to have a real job because I have a family and I've got to make money. Yeah. But like, I don't think that people, I just don't think that Ellen had that big of an influence on the show as people think she did. And I think Chrishell is also trying to sell books. She's it not is, stupid.
This did come right. out of her book. Yes. This right. was a quote right. from the book. Yeah.
She's not stupid. She's trying to make Definitely a paycheck not. And she stays in the limelight for a reason and people like her. I don't know how much validity there is to her story, but I know my story. And I think because Ellen took such an interest in the show at the time, that helped with that season. It made my season of The Bachelorette be so popular because then we filmed one episode in the studio with Ellen and in the audience, you know? So it was because she was such a fan and wanted my story to continue to play out. They really milked that, you know, they were able to use that and use the popularity of Ellen and her favor in the show, you know? And I would imagine, I mean, I'm not an idiot, but like ABC executives probably saw the dollar signs in that.
Yeah.
Versus taking someone who'd never been on the show before and making them the Bachelorette and just hope it does well.
Well, that's kind of what we've seen the past two past two Bachelor seasons with Matt. He was like a random pick. And then I almost want to say Clayton was a random pick because he had like 10 minutes of airtime back on the show season.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends.
At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops, and I mean every style for spring.
There's something for the guys too, with deals on brand name shirts.
And you can get outside this spring with savings on outdoor tableware.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. If you really love savings, head to Ross today.
So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea.
Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
You have such great opinions. I've got to know, what's your theory behind the ratings drops? Is it Chris Harrison? Is it burnout?
Man. All right. I think there's several things. So I'm not going to lie. I don't watch the show anymore because I just don't enjoy it.
See, you're one of those people. Now we have to really know Chris.
I am. So I actually had never seen the show before I was on it, Ashley. And mm-hmm. I have always said too, when they came out with like Bachelor Pad, Bachelor in Paradise, like those are my favorite shows because I like that we've already seen you guys on a different season. So I feel like we know you. Mm-hmm. And also I just feel like the storylines are a little better on some of those shows versus on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
I mean, I'm, you know, a little biased here because most right. of my time came from the spinoff shows, but like, Paradise is better.
It is better.
You
are right. I will absolutely sit down and watch like Paradise. I do really enjoy that one, but sometimes it is just gut-wrenching for me to sit down and watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I enjoyed
the
show.
Thanks for doing so for this recap show today.
But you know what? I'm not gonna lie, I was watching it and I was like totally fast-forwarding because I was like, boring, 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 boring. And I would imagine that I am like the masses of the people who are watching the show right now because we didn't really get to know Clayton, right? And I don't know the decision to make him the bachelor. I'm not sure what that was there. I don't know if it was because maybe he was cheaper. I don't know. I didn't get paid to do the show. And so I'm always amazed at the amount of money people make nowadays.
You didn't get paid to do the show at all? Not even like a little
stupid.
No, you really did it for free?
I mean, I did it honestly for free. Okay, so what I did get, they paid, obviously, because I had to give up like 4 or 5 months of my life. I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything. They didn't write me a paycheck, but they said, what do you need to survive during that period of time? Because we need to, we're going to pretty much have you out of your home and your job for 4 months. And then even after we were done filming, then there was press and everything else. So they paid my mortgage, my car payment. And I lived in Georgia, Ashley. My mortgage was like $1,000 a month.
You live in Marietta, yeah?
No, just south of Atlanta. I was from Newnan, Georgia. It's a small town outside of the city. And I bought my first house when I was like 23 years old. And my mortgage was seriously like $1,000. So nice. I think they wrote me a check each month for like $2,500. And you don't know me very well, but I am such a brutally honest human being. Like I seriously down to the dollar added up what my monthly bills were.
You sweet soul.
I don't know if I'm a sweet soul, but I think that they literally, I said this to when we were recording flashbacks the other day, I said it to Jessica. I was like, I think they probably looked at me and were like, we're going to make so much money off of this chick. Like, because I just was that honest. You know, I remember hearing some of the other ladies say that like, oh, they got a massage every single day, or like they demanded that they only drink Cristal or like teeth or boobs or whatever it was. And I seriously was just like, no, I mean, my mortgage is this much, my car payment is this much, and I have like one credit card. So like $2,500 a month should be sufficient. So I think in the 4 months, they wrote me a check for like $10,000 because I got $2,500 a month because they paid my mortgage. It had to be paid and I wasn't working, and my car payment, which had to be paid. And then that was about it. I didn't make any more money off of that.
For the audience, know that I do. I'm just speaking out of what I think is like the rumors about how the leads get paid. We could actually ask Ben how it really goes when he's back. But I do believe that the salary that the lead makes is usually comparable to the money that they would lose from their job gone that long. She's nodding.
I think that's probably right. I think each person individually negotiates that. I just didn't. And honestly, this probably goes back to what Chriselle is saying. When they had me sign my contract, they probably saw dollar signs because I didn't ask for anything. I didn't demand anything. I didn't ask for anything extra. I wasn't like, I need all white candles in my room. Like I just
no
was
Mariah
like,
Carey moves.
Yeah, no. I'm just not like that in my normal life in general. Like I'm not a greedy person. I am very gracious. I'm compassionate. I just think like when I got the opportunity, and I always feel really silly now saying it, Ashley, but like, I truly just believed that that was my path. That was where I was supposed to be. And I wasn't going to be this person who demanded all of these extra things because that's just not who I am in general. So to be honest, they probably took my contract and compared it to other women's contracts and were like, well, we're going to make $400 billion off of her because she doesn't want anything. So why would we choose anyone else? You know,
I would have done a very similar thing. I think like people who ask for like a couple hundred extra dollars more a day for paradise, just like, you guys, you'll make it back. I mean, like,
yeah, you're gonna sell
end.
So much teeth whitener on Instagram. Yeah, you're gonna be okay.
You're gonna be fine. Don't like get on the bad side of production.
Take the opportunity for what it is. Take the opportunity for
That's,
what it is.
That,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Your life will forever change. It will forever be different. And you don't know what you're gonna get out of it. I mean, look at you, right? You are married, you have a family. I think the same thing. Had I not gone on the show, I would have never met Michael and become friends with him. And in turn, I would have never met Steven. And now we've been married over 10 years and 2 kids later. Like, I just believe that there is a path. I don't believe in like coincidence because I'm a Christian, but like, I believe there is the right path for me. And going on the show led me to a certain path. And like, I have a really great life. I have a very blessed life. And some of that is because of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, but like, a lot of it is not. A lot of it is because I believe that I am where I am supposed to be. And it's not always been really easy. Like, we have difficult times, but yeah, just why? You're a dime a dozen.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, don't rattle anything. Your experience is going to be way more worth and what you get out of it, you know, marriage, children, all that, is going to be like way more valuable than a couple extra $100 a day.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always suggest to people when they're like, oh, like, you know, how do I get on a path like you did after the show? I'm like, you have to do a lot of things for free. Like, I did yeah. Access Hollywood for free for yeah. like years and years. But I'm like, yes. I just appreciated the platform.
Same. Anyway, I did so much stuff for Extra and Access yeah. Hollywood and all these people. And I never got paid. E! News, yeah. anytime they called yeah. and wanted me to come in, I literally just looked at it like, this is a great opportunity. If it leads somewhere, cool. If I get paid, even still like now to this day, if there's a paycheck to come along with things, I'm like, oh, this is a nice bonus. I didn't expect that. But like, yeah you're going to get really great opportunities. And even the people who are going on the show now, it's amazing. I know I said this before, what social media does, but some of these girls that go home on night one, and you know this, you've been on the show, back in the day when you went home on night one, no one remembered you by the next week. And now girls are going home on night one with 200,000 followers, and they're also never getting real jobs ever again. You know,
things are changing. The following is going down a lot. People are getting way less follows from being on the show. So people are going to have to start going on the show now for just love again.
Yeah. I think the original question that you asked was
the ratings. Oh, yeah.
Right. I think you're right. There is a number of things. I think it's Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
I think we're, you know, no one really wants to talk about it, but there's a culture where whatever it was that happened, right, that he was held accountable for. But there is another part of the audience who watches the show that were really pissed that Chris got let go. There was a part of our audience.
Actually, I'd say the vast majority.
Yeah, who love Chris Harrison. And I know Chris personally. He's a good dude, you know? Yeah. Like, he has always been kind and respectful. And when I was on the show, he and his family had me over for dinner, like took me under his wing. I only had a PR person because he introduced me to his PR people and was like, you will have these opportunities, like be smart, but like, you know, stay true to who you are. You know, Chris was always really great to me. So I think there's several things that are contributing to the lack of viewership with the show. And I think Chris being one of them, you know, I think those will be shoes that will never be able to be filled. And then I believe also there was a lot of backlash when Clayton was chosen as the Bachelor. Like people were like, first off, who is he? Mm-hmm. They didn't know who he was. And second off, I just don't know that he has carried the season well.
That's the thing. Like if he was going to surprise us and be this awesome personality and this guy that like we get to know and we realize just like what a catch he is and like oh my god, I totally understand why these women are just fawning. Seems like a totally nice guy, but still no one that I'm gonna go to bed thinking about.
He's good looking
Yeah.
I tried the first episode and I kind of was like, I want to be like blown away. If I'm going to watch a show, I don't care if it's The Bachelor or whatever it is, I want to be blown away in the first episode and feel like I'm hooked. Like I need to see the second episode. Yeah. And honestly, when I watched the first episode, I turned it off. I was like, I cannot stomach this. It's just, and no wonder they try to create so much drama with the girls now, because if the lead can't carry the show, and it's nothing, I honestly feel bad for him. I think he's probably a really good dude. And I think,
me too.
He likes to eat a lot of chicken. I think he eats a lot of chicken.
Oh, why do you think that?
A lot of protein because he's so beefy.
Okay, yeah.
So beefy. I think I remember from one of the opening for the show, Ashley, they showed him, or maybe I saw it on Instagram and I didn't follow him because I was like, I can't handle that. I just can't handle. He was showing what he spends at Walmart for like a week's worth of eating his protein.
And there and was like, a lot of chicken in there.
Oh my God. It was just like, it was like great value, like chicken. And I was like, I can't, I like to eat too much. I can't live my life like this. Like I pounded homemade bolognese last night until I almost threw up. You know, I just can't live where you've got to work out all week and eat so much protein. So,
and not any carbs. That's just no way
like
to live.
Wine. How can you not have a glass of wine with the spaghetti bolognese? You know?
Yeah, I know.
When I was on the show, I'm from the South and they took us to, it was for the hometown date for Graham Bunn. And I'll say this really quickly, but it's a 2-day part filming. And so for lunch, they took the cast and crew to a Golden Corral. I don't know if you know what that is.
I've been there once. Yeah.
It is a buffet. It is. Yeah. I love nothing more than a good buffet. And when they released us to get our plates, they did let us sit alone together, but they were like very clear, like don't talk about anything. And so he went to fix his plate. And I went to fix mine. And I came back to the table with like macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes and gravy, chicken fingers and ranch. And when I looked at his plate, Ashley, he was having a salad with double chicken and no dressing. And I have this.
See, that would be a total turnoff for me.
I have this distinct memory of being like, this is never going to work. It's never going to work.
Exactly.
He's so good looking and I like him so much, but it's never going to work. Is he judging me by my plate?
I'm just going to say it because it's when I was with Kevin from Bachelor Winter Games, like the guy liked his chicken salad way too much for me to like live a comparable life. Like it's, yeah. And we're not saying, I'm not talking about chicken salad with like seasoning and mayo.
No,
he wanted like his leafy greens with just grilled chicken, like for every meal. And I was like, this is sign number one. This is not gonna work out.
Jesus is speaking to me through his lunch and it's not meant to be.
Okay. All right. So we do have to move on to our recap, which will be brief because Deanna.
There's not a lot to talk about.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back after this.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends.
At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops, and I mean every style for spring.
There's something for the guys too, with deals on brand name shirts.
And you can get outside this spring with savings on outdoor tableware.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. If you really love savings, head to Ross today.
So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. you cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Okay, so we start this episode with Sarah coming back from her one-on-one. We already really kind of went over this. You felt super cringy because she called out the girls saying, one of you said something about me. And Mara kind of like admitted that it was her. And then we'll jump to the cocktail party. So we have 9 women left. And Teddy, Sarah, and Rachel have a rose. There's like really not much to say about this cocktail party.
I keep going on to the different sections thinking like, oh, I'll have something to input for this. And I really don't, because it all felt like super boring to me. Mara did pull, Sarah.
Oh, this is
though.
The one where,
so yeah, I did appreciate this.
That part. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I did appreciate this. And for whatever little bit of drama that it created, I will say that I thought both women handled it well. They didn't become like catty and uncomfortable, but also I appreciated Mara saying like, you looked like a child coming into the cocktail party and going, nanny, 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 he chooses me, you know, and she did. Yeah. I mean, I get what she was doing, and I appreciated that Sarah stood up for herself by saying like, you guys ratted me out to Clayton, but then also the way she came in with her rose, like a child. And so I appreciated the way Mara was just like, it felt really insensitive the way you did that. And it felt really silly. But then it was sad to see Mara get sent home, because I was like, oh, girl.
I thought they were going to keep her around for another week.
I did too.
That she was going to like, we're going to have more drama between the two of them.
I also don't understand, Ashley, why these girls don't watch the show ahead of time and realize that the girl who tattles on another girl never wins.
Oh, well, of course. It's really bizarre the way that nobody catches on to this. I mean, and I say this, having been a viewer for 5 years before being on the show. And then I went and did that knowing it never go well that way. But you just can't help yourself. Depending on your personality, you can't help yourself. Yeah. Okay, so here are these two things that kind of stood out. Mara said that Sarah's overconfidence was not cute, which we can totally get behind. She also said that Sarah is getting sloppy, and it shows. Now, is she referring to like her being like drunk sloppy, or is she talking about her being like lying, or her tactics?
I wonder, was it that? Because I didn't quite get it. I didn't quite get it, because I don't know if sloppy would be the right word that I would describe her as. Yeah. So I didn't quite get that. I think she was just trying to get back at her a little bit, because so maybe it was the tactics, because she came in again bragging about a rose and that their solid foundation was going to be okay. But I just didn't quite get that.
we were thinking at the time that this was kind of like a Mara Sarah beef situation. The other girls didn't really seem to be interfering at all. But then later in the episode, we see that like these tactics that Sarah was using, which was basically just going to the house every time she had a one-on-one interaction with Clayton and showing off the experience that she had with him. Mm-hmm. That was like the girls kind of ended up thinking that was a tactic to like freak them out and make them think that she was number one. She was definitely being chosen so that they would therefore feel less confident in their connection with him.
Yeah. Well, I also felt like no one said anything. It just seemed like it was Mara who was saying something. Yeah. And then towards the end of the episode, you do see a couple of the other girls in their ITMs chime in and say that they felt like Sarah was being braggy or that this was going to come to bite her in the butt.
Yeah, even that 3-on-1, or I guess it was a 4-on-1. So I guess it was just a regular group date. They all ended up telling Clayton that they didn't trust Sarah. That she was trying to like play with their brains. But I wonder if they felt like that the entire way through. I think they kind of did. I just think that like editing wise, they wanted to make it seem like it was Sarah versus Mara.
Well, it's interesting that they chose to edit it that way, because I feel like every other season when there is that one girl that they're trying to pinpoint everyone against, they show that. They show the other girls, whether they're saying it to... They show it to the other girls, whether it's that they're saying it to her in particular. Mm-hmm. But they didn't show that this season until the very end.
Well, yeah, there was like a little, I know Sarah made like a little reference to it. And I always feel like sometimes they do this. They did this in one of my seasons, which makes me like notice more. They did it with one of my storylines. They added like one little line in there from Rachel about Sarah. And then that made me go, so the other girls are talking about it, but they're making it seem like it's just a battle between the two of them. All right. So at that rose ceremony, Eliza, who like I don't really know very well, and Mara get eliminated. I don't think there's any surprises here. They move on to Vienna, Austria, where we start with a one-on-one with Susie. And like, I thought Susie wasn't really into Clayton a couple weeks ago, and now I think she's really into him. And I don't know whether he's more into her or more into Rachel, but those are definitely my top two right now. And she has the classic date that we see on basically every season, the fairy tale date, the Cinderella date, whatever you want to call it. She gets to go shopping. She looks great in all the dresses. She picks out one and she gets to like go to this palace and have dinner with him. And then like the guy who sings Lady in Red is there serenading them. This is, again, on my season, I was ridiculous. It was a spoof. I was total satire when I sat around pretending to be Cinderella left at home. But it truly is the date that I wish I had experienced on The Bachelor. Anything to add about this, Deanna?
You know what is so funny is I felt a lot like Susie. I would have been super uncomfortable because I am just like a jeans and a t-shirt kind of girl. So yeah. I am not into like the princess theme. So uh-huh. I would have been really uncomfortable. But I say that I actually really enjoyed this date. And I felt like it is as out of character as it would be for me. I thought it was the most genuine piece of the entire show. Like I think that Susie and
like Clayton, you feel it. Yeah.
Feel I it. Do. Yeah. I feel like yeah. She really likes him. I feel like they're going to be a good fit for each other. I don't know if he chooses her in the end, but I just thought, oh, they look good together too. But like, it just felt really genuine, even though it was like over the top, this princess date with all of this stuff. And I saw that in the conversation they had that night at dinner too. Like, I felt like she did a really good job of being like, you know, I kind of was uncomfortable. This is not kind of my vibe, but like, I'm really into you. And I just thought that that the chemistry was there, mm-hmm. that the conversation seemed to flow pretty easily between the two of them. And those are the pieces that I like about the show. When it feels like forced or like overproduced, I don't like that. And so I think with that being said, I just thought that they could be a really good fit. And I didn't think Susie had a real shot a couple weeks ago or even in the beginning. It's not that she
I thought
really
she was
going to
walk away.
Yeah. I didn't think she stood out to me at all. And so I actually changed my mind when I watched that date. I thought they seemed to be like, they could be a really good fit for each other.
It was cute. Okay, so then we go to the group date, which is kind of crazy because they sit down for psychotherapy because they're in Vienna, Austria, the home of Freud. And they basically have like a couples counseling meeting. And the standout moments are that Genevieve is so uncomfortable with therapy and crying, just like the act of crying and being emotional, especially on camera, which is why did you sign up for The Bachelor, that she like kind of like freezes and says like, I can't do this. And then he walks her out.
I love therapy. Because
like so Sarah loves therapy so much.
Yeah, I'm not as braggy as Sarah, but Sarah loves therapy so much. But yeah. I am definitely a advocate for your mental health and stability. So, but I also felt really sad for Genevieve because of how painful it seemed for her to sit and talk and open up. Like I felt really bad for her because I think that there are definitely people who operate like that. I am the polar opposite of that. Like if I am upset or I'm angry, there's no like trying to pull it out of me. My child is trying to show her money to you.
No.
Hi.
It's yours.
Oh, thank you, honey.
It's the $4.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
Aww.
Thanks, baby.
That's what it is.
Thank you, Angel. So I felt really bad for her because I can't even imagine what a world that looks like where you can't like fully open or talk or be like open with how you feel or your emotions or anything, because I'm just not like that. And so I felt really bad for her, but I thought she handled it really well when he was sending her home, because she was pretty aware of the fact that like she hasn't opened up at all. And she sees and acknowledges that he has connections with some of these other women, that she would be like, it just wouldn't work. If he took her down hometown dates, it just wouldn't work. She's that far behind at this point because she knows that she can't open up. So even though she didn't share much in that, I appreciated her honest vulnerability in sharing that. She wasn't going to be able to do it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? She was actually in turn vulnerable by saying, I can't be vulnerable.
Yeah.
All right. Then the other standout moment, of course, is Sarah saying, like, I love therapy. Love, love, love. And then she goes in there to the room with him and the psychotherapist. And she, like, kind of expresses just how frustrating being in the house has been and how the other girls, you know, don't really, like, trust her or, like, have a different perceived. You're perceiving her in a way that like she says is not really her. But she's
don't
also
you think
like
Clayton was crying. Sitting there and he was like, don't you think inside he was like, this is strange.
Well, yeah, strange. Because he eventually calls her out later in the night saying that he doesn't buy her tears. Well, actually, because at night she's quote crying, but there's no water coming out of her eyes, which really confirms what the psychotherapist says at the end of the daytime portion of the group date, which is there's somebody here who's performative in the room. And immediately like all the girls kind of like point their fingers at her, and then Clayton is watching her just cry with no water. And I think that is like, that's a telltale sign that somebody is being performative, right?
Well, yeah, because typically, I mean, unless she has no tear ducts and her doctor can prove it.
She said that like she had no more tears left. Well, that's kind of an expression, girl.
She's dried up. Girlfriend is dried up.
Dehydrated.
I also would have been weird on that date anyway. Like Clayton was probably like, why do we have to do silly things like this with a therapist to pretend like we can all be together as one? I'm sure he was like mortified, but still, yeah, poor Sarah. Poor Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty weird to be like, quote, in therapy with somebody that you're dating when there's like five
someone
other
that
people
you
there.
Barely know. Actually.
Barely know. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've been on the show. They have barely spent any time alone with Clayton. Do they really know who he is? Probably not.
No, it would have been like that. Was that the week? Okay. So I was there, like I got eliminated between like seven and eight, and then like six. So technically it was like this week. And that would have been me sitting in that room with Crystals, who I legitimately may have had 30 minutes of private conversation with. Yeah. That's so awkward.
And then you're supposed to sit in front of a therapist and be like, these are my deepest emotions and concerns. Let me lay it all out here for you and this man that I don't know, and also the millions of people who are going to watch the show, and a therapist that I'm just meeting for the first time in a foreign country who knows nothing about me or my past or my childhood. So great. Great.
Yeah. Very, very awkward. These very girls, awkward. Most of them, thankfully, have had one-on-one, so they've had more than 30 minutes. But truly, Genevieve, who had the two-on-one, has had about 30 minutes with him. So no wonder why it was so uncomfortable to get vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's just skip. So really not anything to say about Serene's date, except for the fact that I'm so confused that she got the rose over Teddy. What? I think he gave her the rose just because she said, I'm falling in love with you. And he had no idea what to do.
Right. Was he just like, I don't know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
Yeah, maybe.
For real.
Like, some bachelors, like, they hear, I love you, I'm falling in love with you, and they're like, oh man, we got to cut this off now because poor girl, we're totally leading her on. But he did not know, he didn't do that, or he's still excited about her. But I'm like really confused because Teddy was way more of a storyline, just like her character on the show. I felt like we were more invested in her. The edit made us more invested in her than Serene. So I just feel like Serene is the obvious like person that we're cutting next week. Teddy, weird because she was first impression rose. We learned there's like the her virginity storyline about how like she'd be willing to lose it to a guy that she was in love with. She would be, did she say that she'd be down to do it in the fantasy suite? I don't know. We were all thinking this was going to happen, that it was leading to a fantasy suite with Teddy.
Very confusing.
And it's not happening. It's not happening. And it's so weird. So why does he say towards the end, I slept with both of you? I mean, that's not too shocking now, because it would have been shocking if he had taken.
I'm sorry. I missed that.
Oh,
he said that he slept with both of them.
He says to two ladies. Or two to three. I think he says, I love you to three. And then he says to two women, he tells them in front of each other, I slept with both of you. But is that so cringe, but also not super surprising.
Not super surprising, but look, why say it out loud in front of everyone for people to judge these two women? And also, why do that to each other? Now they've got to go back and think, oh, I'm not so special anymore.
Oh, then you have to think about the visual.
Yes. Or just know, like, okay, the way the fantasy dates work, was he with her last night and now he's with me tonight? It's just gross.
It's like really, really weird. Okay. Well, anyway, so there's that. So we're all thrown off, or at least I am thrown off by the elimination of Teddy over Serene. Listeners, let us know. Say something in the Facebook group, because I know you guys are active in there and I want to know if you're as puzzled as I have been. Okay. Well, I'd say that's it. Deanna, you survived an episode of The Bachelor. Thank you so much for putting yourself through that.
Okay, well, you know what? It was painful. No, it wasn't all painful, but I'm telling you, I had to like skip through the end. I could not even stomach the rose ceremony. Could not even go through it. I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. It's kind of like, what's the season going to be? How's it going to end, Ashley?
Well, lots of people are saying it's going to end with him not choosing anyone. And I don't know how that would be when he's crying over loving too many people. How does that work?
I wonder if he just didn't date a lot before this, or wonder if has he ever shared if he's ever been in love?
You know what? That's something I should know. I'm going to say that he has been in love, but I'm not sure that he's really dated a lot. I think there may have just been one serious relationship under his belt. I also might just be pulling this out of my butt.
It's the funny thing about the show, though. The women, when they're the bachelorette, it tends to work out because we go on and we know what we want. We're not messing around, right? We're good at making decisions, just in general.
I know.
And then I feel like with the guys, when the man becomes the bachelor, it usually is this dude who maybe didn't get a lot of girls growing up. And then he gets on the show and he's like, oh my God, I've got all these hot chicks after me. Like, yeah. I'm going to do so well after this. And it goes to their head a bit. You know, we've seen a few Chris Knowles, right? There's been several in the past that this has happened to. And I wonder, will this happen to Clayton too? Like, he seems pretty nice and kind and sweet and genuine and that sort of thing. But I wonder, is this also going to happen to him? Because now he's had all these beautiful women who are there. And you know this when you're in the show, like, all you got to do is go there and fall in love. Like, all you have to do is like, not worry about food. You don't worry about drinks. You don't worry about anything. You just got to go there and like the guy. And then the bubble is done. It bursts. And then you're in real life and you're like, oh, wow, you don't even know this person.
Yep. Well, I mean, another reason why Paradise may be better than the main show, because you do get to know the people more, and the success rate
is much better.
Is better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they have so many more couples now because of the success of Paradise. Even a couple, there were some from Bachelor Pad. And again, we said this in the beginning, and I think it's just because those two shows, A, you get to know each other more, but they feel a little bit more genuine.
I mean, you get so many more hours with the person. You're living with them for over 20 days. Yeah. Anyway, Dee and I know you have to go. Thank you so much for being here. It's always so much fun when you're here. You have such an awesome personality and you have something to say about everything. And I love that.
Oh, thanks, Ashley. This is a lot of fun. Way to start my morning off.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right, guys, before we head out of here, we have Bachelor headlines, of course, and we will go through all of those after this break.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean. So it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that's just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends.
At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops, and I mean every style for spring.
There's something for the guys too, with deals on brand name shirts.
And you can get outside this spring with savings on outdoor tableware.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. If you really love savings, head to Ross today.
So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Already, Bachelor headline time. Let's start with two with Peter Weber. So he's predicting that Clayton is going to end up with no one. And he better not have read spoilers or something and like just trying to make it his opinion, because that would be really annoying. Because I've been spoiler free, guys, for so many seasons now. And I love watching the finale. It makes everything more exciting. It makes me feel like I'm not lying to you guys. Okay, well, anyway, this is what he says. My prediction, and I hate to say it, is that he ends up with no one and that it was supposed to be Rachel. He says, I think she loses it. And then who knows if they all walk away or how it ends. He thinks that she, quote, loses it over the fact that he was intimate with another woman besides her. He continues to say, maybe he walks away because it was mainly Rachel. I'm hoping this is not the case, but I think that's how it's going to end. He said he's surprised that he was able to give her so many group dates, like back to back. I agree. That was kind of shocking. That says a lot. And I would be pretty convinced of it being Rachel if you were asking me last week, but I think that Susie really has almost evened out with her. So I think it's going to go between the two of them. We'll see. Anyway, okay. So another Peter Weber headline. This is kind of juicy. He was on our podcast a couple weeks ago and he did say, you know, he alluded to not so much liking that Hannah Brown revealed that they slept together post his season. But now he's talking a little bit more about it, and we are here for the tea. He said, I did not talk to her after the book came out, her book where she reveals that this happened. I did reach out to her and I received no comment back. You know, it is what it is. I personally wouldn't have done something like that. If two people have a private situation and they talk and they say they're going to keep it private, just keep it private. I don't know. She's done this to me on two occasions now where she says she's not going to say anything and then she says something. He is obviously referring to Hannah opening up about their four sex times. they're rounding the bases four times in the fantasy suite. After the final rose on her season. And now again, she's talking about their hookup post their season. So there's two times. Yeah, two times where she said, let's not say anything. And then she ends up saying something publicly. So I get it. I get why he'd be annoyed at that. All right. Let's see. Greg Grippo. Is it Grippo? Grippo? You know, Greg from Katie's season. He has a girlfriend. She is an influencer in Paris. We don't know much more than that, but it looks to be that he sent her 3 dozen roses on Valentine's Day. So Greg is not anti-rose. And he also told Nick Viall this week that he will probably not be hitting the beaches of Mexico for paradise because he is seeing someone. So we're all very happy for Greg. I know there's lots of girls out there probably sad that they are not with him, because despite what you think of him on the show, lots of girls think of him as a total heartthrob. All right. And then finally, Clayton, this is a headline we can really read into. Clayton says he sometimes regrets joining The Bachelor. He says the first 3 weeks into the show airing, I definitely thought that he made a mistake signing up and being The Bachelor because, quote, because you just don't know what to expect going into it. He said, I thought this is going to be great. Everyone's going to come around, start seeing my personality. And a couple weeks in, people weren't. It seemed like no matter what they showed, even when they did show my personality, like me being goofy, people would still say he has no personality. And I'm like, what more do you want to see? He continued to say to me, I just wasn't ready for the magnitude of criticism I was going to face. He said that because the seasons, Michelle's season and his season, were so back-to-back, he didn't have a lot of time to reach out to alumni and discuss like their thoughts on him being The Bachelor or like get any advice. It feels like he missed out on that. But I'm just interested in this headline because would you really say that like you at points regret being The Bachelor if you end up with somebody in the end? So I'm thinking this might be a subtle sign that he doesn't pick anyone, or that like maybe he does pick somebody, but maybe the person doesn't want to be with him. And now that I say that, that's some juicy stuff that we haven't seen before. And it's kind of like Colton-esque, but like, what if it comes down to like nobody wanting to be with him in the end? That would be crazy. All right. Well, stay tuned, people. So much for Deanna thinking that this season is boring, right? Because if that happens, that is juicy. All right. Well, guys, I appreciate you listening to me ramble by myself for the past 10 minutes and always tuning in to the Almost Famous podcast. I love you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being active on our Facebook group. I check it out all the time. Ben should be back next week, and I shall be too. So until next time, I've been Ashley. Toodaloo.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Ben.
And it's Ashley, and we want to let you know that choking is the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths.
LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one. Visit LifeVac.net and enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS to save 20% and secure your home kit today. That's LifeVac.net and enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS. Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Childproofing people's homes is hard.
but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.